So we're holding here in the second perek, actually. We actually finished the first perek, Baruch Hashem, and we're holding the second perek. So there's a piece here in the Agadah that's not in the Maral over here, and I'd like to speak about it anyway. So in the Agadah, it's in the beginning of, it's on page Tesvav Amud Aleph in the Gemaras. And it is in the Piska Nun Hei. It's part of Piska Nun Hei. Piska. It says that the korban, that the mincha that the Soit had to bring was a soirim. Piska. Being that she did a ma'aseh behema, her korban is also ma'aseh behema, a ma'aseh behema. Tanim regilim chachamim seifin ichuli v'deshanik mechayma. And then he has a different drasha. The shamel of meir to come here chilosik madani olam lefikach korbana machol behema. Amalei hotenach hashira niya meikol meima, where she didn't give him madani olam, she didn't have madani olam to give it. So he says elo kishen shasem asim behema kach korbana machol behema. So the ma'isa, it's referring back to her ma'isim that it's a ma'isa behema, and that's why she gets to eat machol behema. I want to talk a little bit about the musig of Meichel Behema and so on. The Gemara in many places speaks about Sa'irim as being a Meichel Behema and Chitim as being Meichel Adam. In the Gemara says the Mashal that there was once a drought and then somebody came and said the Sa'irim are growing, and they said, "Go tell it go tell it to the behemoth. You know, it's not a Meichel Adam, it's so on and so forth." The Seirim as opposed to Chita. So it's not just a nafgemina in terms of what's a preferable food. There's a reason why Akadosh Baruch Hu made two types of grains that are very similar. And the truth is, in halacha, the only two types of grain are chitim and seirim. The other three minim fall under these two categories. And the truth is, I mean, we live in a city, so we never meet grain outside of a cereal box. We see it in a cereal box, basically it all looks the same. But if you look at grains, they look fairly similar. You have to be a little bit more, sophisticated to tell the difference. So in halacha, it's chit and soira. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu made two grains. One is bedeichik for Adam and be'ikah meichel behema, and the other one is for Adam. The Gemara says that if an animal eats stuff of somebody else, and you're not liable for hezek, lemashal, it ate somebody else's stuff in a shul sarabim, which it's allowed to eat. So, it means you have no chiyuv mazik on shen b'shul sarabim, but you always have to pay mashenene. In other words, you saved yourself money from the fact, so l'mashal, you left a steak in the or some fancy stuff in a b'shul sarabim, an animal ate it, so you have to pay basically the cheapest that would have fed the animal. That's called Dmei Sa'irim Bezoil. It's a question of Sa'irim or Tevin, maybe, but upon him, Sa'irim is picked as the example. So the point is, all Macholim have two qualities. They have bulk and they have taste. The bulk satisfies the body. In other words, if to ask myself, what does my body need? My body needs to have X amount of proteins, roughage, calories, vitamins, minerals, etc. That's what my body needs. But a person, when he eats, there's also a nafshis tikahana. A person enjoys a meal, and that has to do with the taste. So in food itself that we're ingesting, we have two different activities going on. One is I'm feeding my body, And the other one is I'm feeding my emotional sense of well-being. But there are different parts that deal with different. So the muscle, a person who is low leno, hooked up to feeding them, his body is getting the bulk his satisfaction needing. He's not getting it and so on. So when we look at a Baal Chai, it's hard to tell, you know, we have very few conversations with Baal Chaim, so it's hard to tell what they feel. But the assumption is that good taste in food for them is a drive. So animals prefer one over the other, but that's just what drives them to eat it. The sense of self-well-being, just like any other sense of self they don't have that type of thing. The bria of sa'irim is a and that's it. Is meaningful in terms of a an animal. It feeds so in a person also. It feeds the body what it needs. That's the bria of sa'ira. Chita has many timing in it, and therefore chita is something which has in itself a second dimension that shaykh to adam. So when I'm trying to pay back what an animal, the minimal amount, I pay bulk. So chita is all about bulk. Sa'ira is all about bulk. Chita is tam. It's interesting. The Gemara says in Sukkah that all the different minim, the Zayin minim, they all have corresponding things that are in the world shiurim. Some sort of in the world of halacha, every one of the Zayin minim has something corresponding to it. The chita has nothing corresponding to a chita itself. Sa'ira has etzem k'sa'ira, which is you know tit for tat. A bone as big as that. It's chita is if a person eats a half a loaf of chita, that's how much it takes for him to become tummy in a bison nuga and so on. So the measurement of chita is not the chita itself, but it's the bread that comes out of the chita. Because the bria of chita is for what you enjoy. And the Gemara says that, you know, a child's not toim tam chita. He doesn't have das yet. That comes together with a certain level of das and so on. So b'meila, Michael, anything that is to do with behamias, when a person is mizane, when a person has a marriage, so there's two parts. There's a physical body part that's satisfied. And then there's a much deeper emotional part that connects, and that's the teichen of it. A behema looks for a body. And that's it. None of the pnimius of it. And I'm talking about the pnimius on a simple level: the emotional connection, the loyalty, the care, all the other elements are absent. And so b'meila, part of the einish, part of what. What's appropriate for her is to eat siren, which is a meichel behema. I mean, the most classic chita siren divide is between the oimer and the shtealechem. The oimer, which is the carbon brought at the beginning of the process. Pesach, we got out of Mitzrayim. We were just starting the process. We hadn't developed yet. And it culminates in chita at Maimer Har Sinai. So the same idea. Al Kapanim, that's a hezba of the Meichel Behemah and so on. Okay.
Next. So just a question, Rav Lapinski.
Yes, sure.
Why is therefore Sa'ora one of the Shivas Aminim and you could make bread out of it and it's Meichel Behemah? How can you be metakin it that way? Ad kereikach that it's lechem and it's...
Interesting question. I don't know. Of all of the Zayin Minim, Sa'ora seems to get a bad rap. So I'm not sure, Taka, why it's included. I'm not sure. If I was a Zionist, I would say even if it's a Sa'ira, but if it grows in Eretz Yisrael, it's Meshubach. That would be how I would phrase it, but I don't know. Okay, let's see. Right, let's take a look at Nunvav. Dora Reb Akiva, Ish v'Isha shezachu shchina b'neihem, loy zachu eishach lasam. So an Isha and an Isha that was zeicha, they have shchina b'neihem. If they're not zeicha, eishach lasam. Amarava u'di Isha adifa mi'di Ish. My timer, hay mitzarf, hay lo mitzarf. So the einish, the adif in this case doesn't mean better in the sense that she suffers less. Adrabba, the eisha chlosan is much stronger with a woman. Why? Because high mitzarif and high not mitzarif. So the word mitzarif over here is Rashi says because the eish in isha has no letter dividing it. In other words, by ish you have aleph yud shin. So the eish sheboy is sort of not the eish, it's not a complete eish. Isha's eish hey, and b'meila amar rava neimar matira haba have offer l'seita shim zoch sahav lebani kavar vino tzibba v'alech afeif lezoch satach zafar. Okay, so let's see the first part. This is obviously this is said over multiple times in shem brachos and stuff. Let's see the morale over here. Shchina b'nehem. Pirish ki ish ve'isha shekol echad mem chelik adam u'shneim be'yachrim adam sholem ulefi ma'ilas adam kasher sholem ashchina imoy kasher mispar shmoy chal adav sholem v'lachach kasher yischabu yachad shmoy mispar chal alehim. So let's talk a little bit about this point over here. You find an interesting thing about shchina being shayra. Shchina being shayra needs to have two people. Shnayim sheyeshvim, and there's divrei Torah b'neihem. One person is yeshiv, Kadosh Baruch Hu is kaveh aschar. You need two people for hashras hashchina. In the Beis Hamikdash, the kruvim were the place where the shchina was focused. Actually, it was bein kruvim. Ish ve'isha, you have the two. So why is it always, it seems to be a need for two in order to have Ashras HaShchina? So let's understand a little bit about the musig of Ashras HaShchina in this sense. Whenever I have, let's take a simple mashal. Imagine I have, there's only one apple in the world. So this is an apple. I don't have anything other than the apple that's sitting over here. The red apple, all of its physical properties is apple. It's apple and it's the apple. It's one and the same. When I have two apples, I now have two pratim and a klal. If I have two apples, it means there's a species called apple. And that is, what's the right word for it? That's intangible. It's a concept. It's conceptual. It's a klal gadol that these two are protim of it. So within the context of protim, I now have a klal. But I need minimally two protim. If something is sui genre, that means it's the only one of its kind. So there's not really a kind like that. To say that there's a kind, if I find an animal that has some mutation in it, so all I have is the animal with the mutation. It's only when I have several animals, at least two, that have same, that I can now say there's a category of animals that have X, Y, or Z. So always in the protim, you never, Hashras HaShchina can never be boxed into one prat. By definition, it's because that would be making the Shechina into a thing. So if Ruvain would have Hashras HaShchina per se, so then Shechina is Ruvain, and that's a problem. If two people are sitting and learning, and the Torah of the two of them together create a sort of midpoint, an environment where Shechina is within the environment. Shechina is always sort of the conceptual overarching feature. And that's why I say with the Kruvim, each Kruv represents a certain Anhagas of Mida, and Shechina is that which is above the Kruvim. It's sort of, it comes from within, from between the Kruvim. Between the Kruvim, there's a point of commonality, and that's where you have it. So Shechina is always something that it rests on the bigger item of it. It's something the Maharal, when he speaks about it many places, he speaks about the difference between the chelik and the kol. A chelik is always self-defined only. And this is a screw. This is a nail. This is a board. When I put chalakim together, I get a hole that's greater than them. I now have a table. The table is more than just a collection. I put all of the stuff, all the boards and the nails into a big bag, I don't have a table. But when I put it together right, I now have a table. And b'meila, I have a bigger entity. Anytime I have a dover sholem, it means each piece is a piece, and as a piece, it's limited to itself. And then I have a klolius, which is something that includes all, and that's something that falls in this category. So b'meila, ish and isha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created ish and isha, lo tova yos adam levado. Man could not be made in a way where ki'ilu he's a davar shalom lifnei atzmai, because then you're touching upon so you know what makes him different. It's ish and isha together are a unit that have something bigger than themselves, and that's the ashros hashchina. So he says isha shavah chelik adam. Each person himself is only a chelik ha'adam. U'shneim b'yachad him adam sholem. And it's together that we see it as a bigger entity. U'lfi mailas adam kashu sholem ha'shchina imoy. Ki ha'shem zvach shmai chal dava sholem. U'lokash ha'ischa b'yachad shmai zvachlem. By definition almost, if something is called a dava sholem, it means it has a metzias larger than itself. If a thing is a prat, if a thing is not sholem, that means it's only part of something. By definition, one of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's most important titles is koil. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is koil, koilom yachad. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everything together. There are no internal dichotomies. There are no internal splits. It's one, it's a davar shalem. And so wherever there is a metzius shlema, that's a metzius that is similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's possible to have ashras hashchina. I was in a town near Lakewood, there's a Sephardi town, Long Branch. And I was there, I was in the cradle across the street. There's somebody who lives there, and he does, I guess he's a handyman. And I guess his language of Lashon Kodesh is limited to Machzorim, I guess, whatever. So he has a big sign on his door, HaKoil Yochel. The Koil Yochel lives here. So I told my wife, I came back, I said, you know, now I know where Hashem lives. There's a big sign there. And I actually was zeichet to see the Koil Yochel at one point. So it was, yeah. So he said, the Kodesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Baruch Leim. Omno. Im loy zechu biyachad, az eish hechlosan. V'zeh ki lemailas odom shu nichnas chitz al yonish shu eish. But, v'lekach som eish b'milas ish u'milas isha. Kasha Hashem yisbarach mesalik shem neem, az eish soya fe ish v'chein ish soya fe isha, v'in eish ha'v isha, v'in eish ha'v isha, v'in eish. So he says like this, because a human being has an affinity for a shaykhis to Shechina, and if he's not in a matzav of being a kli that could contain it, it will be destroyed. Just like if you have a wire and you put through a current that's too strong for it, you'll burn it out. And the only way you can have a physical entity that has shaychus to keeping a Kadosh Baruch Hu within is if it's sholem. Then, but if it's not sholem, then by definition, a davar sholem means it's capable. A sholem is capable of holding a sholem. But the minute something is lacking or missing, then it's eishah klosai, which is interesting because what about a single person, a bachelor? It doesn't say loy zochu is not if you're a bachelor. Zochu is if you're married and not with sholem bias. Okay. Because either one, neither ish nor isha, have in themselves the ability to be called that ish. It could very well be that the pshat is once in miyaser a bias, that's when you got shas a shchin, and then when the bias, if the bias falls apart, then each person is harmed by it. Maybe that's it. The Amar Rava ha'isha adifa midi ish pirush eshel isha yes midi ish ki ha'isha mipnei shehi lashlama sadam ha'isha yoseh kreva lashlama. So he says the interesting pshat, and what does it mean that she's more kreva lashlama? So Rashi says it's just the aleph and shin together. Well, he gives an explanation. Since a woman is the entity that in fact is mashim da adam, she's the piece that's missing. So she has a stronger shaychus to the things that come with shleimus, and the mela she's more readily burnt by it if she's if it's lacking. Lekach oisah she ish em yachad v'eish k'mo sheroy, avol di ish ein oisah she ish yachad umerez al eish bilti misukin k'roy. So by ish you have the ish goes, but lemaisa she can't hold on to it. By ish, it's not even that. Vehine v'davzi yadur kikorcha eshel ishen yoytzim min aseda k'mo sheitzel ish. Ve'ish ezer tzolei mekorcha nivashish b'ishu b'isha. V'kashe zocha Hashem yisbarach b'nehem mischabe l'koyach hanivdol shalahem. V'kashe loy zochu az Hashem yisbarach mesulik m'koyach hanivdol shalahem. V'az koyach nivashim ein edavik Hashem yisbarach v'chlosem v'avim zeh. Let's talk a little bit about. I want to talk a little bit about this Kerach and Nivzal talks about. So the Pashup Shad is that it's a punishment kind of. You should have been Sholem, and you can't stand the Metzias of whatever it is, and so on. I want to explore the point he's making. Where he says something when he says Was Kerach and Nivzal Shem Ein Dov Shemus Barufu Chlosu. My Rebbe Chaim Shmulevitz would say that the following statement: there is nothing holier than an neshama. But when a neshama does not have a guf, then it becomes a mazik. The shei the mazikim are neshama without a guf. Rebbe Chaim would say a shmuz about it. What he intended was, if a person's ideals and so on outstrip his kli kibble, then it becomes dangerous because it's destructive. Ideals, well-intentioned idiots are still idiots. So this person is trying to do this and trying to do that, and he doesn't understand the metzias. So that's very, very destructive. Let's take a dogma, for instance. Let's go to something else. A person is, quote-unquote, a deep thinker. He thinks about things that are not, they transcend the physical and so on and so forth. So we look at some of those people. Some of those people, we say, wow, this person is really very deep. Some of these people, we say, he's out for lunch. He's on a different planet. The difference is, is it connected to our planet or not? So Einstein understood the world around him. He knew the nuts and bolts of things around him. And then he sort of projected outwards And he extrapolated, and he was much, much deeper than anybody because he went much further. But if you take somebody who will sit and just dream about, you know, black holes and wormholes and this, that, the person isn't living in a world of fantasy. A ruchnius that doesn't have the ability to connect with the Olam HaMaisa puts people out somewhere else. It's that Aish is very, very destructive. There's a fascinating book. I might have mentioned once. It's the underground reading of Chassidus Yeshivas, or used to be underground reading Chassidus Yeshivas until the smartphone became the underground. But when there was still a book underground in Chassidus Yeshivas, there was a book called The Neufel. The Neufel was written by a Chabad, a great-great-grandson of Baal HaTanya named Schneerson, Fischl Schneerson, who himself was some sort of an off-the-dark person. He was a German neuropsychologist. In Germany, they had these fancy titles. A neuropsychologue, survived the war. He ended up in Israel. I don't know how from he was, but no matter how from he was a real Chabadnik. And he wrote a book. It's called Chaim Gravitz of the Neifel. In Chabad, they had a concept of people who went off the derech because they went too far. It's like, you know, they went past the boundary zone. And it's a fascinating book. It's about somebody who goes through the process and looks for the truth in other places, and he's never finding it. And even though he's not there, he'll always come back. That's sort of the flavor of the book. It's a novel built on some historical reality. But the beginning of it is that there was this Chaim Gravitz that he's writing about was an extraordinary Chassid at Tzemach Tzedek, but they were very suspicious of him, the Hasidim, and even the Rebbe was very, very wary because he had a black beard. And black beards are very, very suspicious. In other words, people who are very hot and they're young, they don't have the reins and the ability to absorb it in a way that's healthy. So they can go past and beyond what's shayach, and then becomes destructive. And then when he went off, you know, a messenger came running to the Rebbe, came, you know, Ryan, the river has overflown its banks. That was the expression he used about him. And it was sort of like the person's, you know, he gotten so worked up into where Hashem is and this and that. It's like the Gemara in Chagiga, where Arba Nichnasu LePardes, and you know, and each one something happened to him, and except for Rabbi Akiva, they all are expressions of the ability for your more rational faculties to contain the part of you that's exploring past that. So when a person is very solidly grounded, is very solidly kibble, but the tochen is kind of pass beyond, that's deep. When a person doesn't have the ability, and then he just it's like those old time the helium balloons, when it gets cut from this, if the string gets cut, then you have something that keeps going until it just explodes somewhere up there or dries or whatever happens to it. So the metzias of having something ruchni in a kli that is not capable of holding it, that becomes dangerous. I'd like a little bit to understand it possibly in the concept of Shalom Bayis, because that's what we're talking about at the end of the day. A person who is single has a life of his own with a certain level of expectation of the other, which is limited. We learn very quickly the boundaries between us and other people, and as long as we keep to the boundaries, and you know, both so expectations of friendship are met, and so on, and things are fine. Marriage allows for a sharing of a life in a way that's unthinkable outside of it. The fact that I'm willing to expose myself totally, and vice versa, the entire opening up and so on, those are that that's an unnatural relationship. It's something that it's a bria. I mean, it's not fathomable. People, friendships, no matter how deep, never cut across those lines, because the idea that we create a new unit that's a family, a household, is incredible. And that's why as a parenthetic remark, the when people speak about this type of marriage, that type of marriage, marriage is a bria. You can and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that's only possible by Zachar Nekeva, period. There is no such thing. You can do whatever you want to do. You can describe it. It does not form that, and it will not form that, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't make it. There's an incredible, and everything fits it. The biology fits it, having the kids fits it, the fact you have a family unit where both of them together are shaykh to it. If you don't have, if you are deficient, you or your spouse or both are deficient, then what destroys the relationship is that. I always found that, I don't know, Dr. Epstein will be able to tell me more. I think there's a statistic. There are many people in America who live together, not as husband and wife. And there's a statistic that if they get married, many of them get divorced. And you ask yourself, for 40 years, you've been living with somebody. For 20 years, you've been living with somebody and it seems to be okay. And then you get married and then it puts a strain and you get divorced. Like, what changed? Manishtana. I mean, there is a psychological dimension to it. You know, a person, when somebody's called a friend, there's a lack of a shared common mitzvah. When somebody's a spouse, there is a common mitzvah. And that's why if each side has the appropriate strength and whatever is needed in terms of that, then it's a kli kibble. If not, then the very content of the marriage becomes the destructive force that pulls it apart. Let's just finish up. He says, "Aval the isha in isha eish yachad meiros al eish bel dugeroy v'dovaz yedua kikocha eish al isha and yoytis min asedik meishet al isha." So it takes on another spiritual dimension, which is that koach nivdul.